Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's just start out with prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. Father, as we come together this morning in your house, I pray that we will meet with you, that we'll recognize you, dear Holy Spirit, working in and through our hearts. May our ears be open to what you have to say. May our hearts be receptive. May you be glorified. May your presence be known. May we walk away from this place today saying, Lord, it was really good being in your house. It's really even more special to recognize you. And so, Father, I just pray that you're honor that. Bless your word in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You know, I keep saying one of my favorite verses, but I keep finding more and more verses are my favorite verses. One of them is Isaiah 40, verse 31. It said, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I love that promise. That on that dependency of waiting on the Lord and relying on the Lord and his power and strength will enable us to not burn out. That's essentially what that verse is saying. You know, most birds fly, and this is going to look funny to you, by flapping their wings really fast, right? But the problem is they're expending their energy. They're by flapping as hard as they can. They're going a certain distance, and they're only getting to a certain altitude. But contrary to most birds, the eagle, like the one up there in the picture there, it soars. In fact, it goes higher than any other bird, so high that with our own natural eye, we cannot see an eagle above us flying. That's how high they can fly. And they fly generally, as you see, with the wings out. And their wingspan is huge. I can't remember if it was 6 feet or 8 feet, but it was something massive. And so they put their wings out and they fly. But what has happened is that God, in his marvelous creation, developed these columns called thermals. It's columns of hot air that rise off the face of the earth, and they make these columns. And God designed eagles to know how to identify those columns. And they fly right into those columns. The columns pick them up, and they keep their wings out, and they soar, and therefore they go longer distances, they go at higher altitudes, and they expend less energy. Isn't that a cool picture? I love that. But that also reflects very much on Christians in the local church. Because as Christians, if we operate in our own strength, we all know that we're going to burn out. Operating in our own strength, we're not operating in the strength of God. Therefore, we're not going to see and witness the power of God working the way he wants to in our own life. Whatever struggles we have as we rely on God and depend upon him, we're relying on the Holy Spirit to carry us through the struggle or the challenge or whatever it is that we're going through, that he might be glorified, that we might be able to reflect and go, you know what? I know God carried me through that. And we can give God the glory. The same thing with the church. The church operates by flapping its own wings, going by its own energy. It won't go as far as God intends. It won't rise up to the heights that God wants the church to attain. And so we end up going through the motions of church, which we always have to guard against, because that becomes religious. And we're to focus on soaring as God intends us to. Like the eagle, it recognizes these thermal uplifts. It flies right into it. You and I have to be willing to recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit wherever he's working. Henry Blackaby was saying that when God reveals to us where he's working, he's inviting us to be a part of his work. That was from the old study of experiencing God years ago. But we have to be in a mindset to look for it or to be sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit. And that requires you and I to walk with Jesus every day. And that takes a commitment. That takes a level of focus. And we're to walk with him as God would have us to, and fellowship with him, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And that sounds religious, but the Word of God says if we walk in the flesh, We're going to fall in sin. If we walk in the Spirit, we're going to have victory over it. And so the more we walk in the Spirit, the more we walk with Him, the more sensitive we are to Him, the more capable we are of identifying the Spirit of God where He's working, and the more opportunity we have to fly into that area that the Spirit of God is working and to let Him lift us up to carry us, because He'll put us in places that are beyond our capability naturally. Right? And so we can praise God for that. Isaiah wrote, mount up with wings like eagles. And then he says, we will renew our strength, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Have we ever felt like our strength is wearing out? Have we ever felt like we were running and burning out? Have you ever felt like we were just becoming faint and doing the work of God? You know what all that earmarks? We're not operating by the Spirit of God. We're operating by our own strength. Because when we operate in the strength of the Holy Spirit sustains us and gives us everything that we need to accomplish what He wants us to. And so I think it's a good measurement that we identify. Hey, doesn't mean we don't physically get tired. I'm talking about emotionally and mentally saying, I'm done. See, that happens when we're not relying on the Spirit of God, but we're relying on ourselves. And so the question is, are we as Christians or as the church body depending on the thermal updrafts of God provided by His Holy Spirit in order to carry us to live out the plans that He has for us individually and collectively as a church body? Or are we living like the world? We're not depending on those spiritual thermal uplifts. We're trying to do it on our own. We're trying to flap our way through to the end of life. I'd rather soar than flap. I'd rather rise up and see things I could never see before at the height of a soaring eagle than fly low and have everything constrained in a smaller view. Because when you're higher, you see even broader what God wants to do. And we can be a part of that. So praise God for that very truth. So what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, and last week in particular, is that the body needs to be run by the head, Christ, right? We know that here in our intellect, but we need to put it to action. We're at a business meeting. We need to be seeking the Holy Spirit. We're making decisions as a church. It needs to be, and this is something that I've learned to realize through our study on Sunday nights, that we together in our own selves can come up with some great good things to do in ministry that indeed will glorify God. But if we're not walking in the Spirit of God together, we will never, ever, ever see what God is assigning to us. Do you understand the difference? We're going to do what we think is good, and it may be good, but we're never going to hear the assignment that God has specifically for our church. In other words, we'll never be the church that God intended us to be if we only do what we think we ought to do and not what God is leading us to do. And that's so crucial that we remember that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 5 and verse 8, and it says, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus told him, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you something greater than Me being here in the flesh with you. Jesus being in the flesh with those that were around Him contained them to one area of ministry. Sending the Holy Spirit empowered His people around the world throughout the ages to be active in His God and His godly work and what He wants to do in and through us. And so the church, those that were, it was the birth of the church, the believers in Christ as the Messiah that were waiting for this to be sent. And they didn't understand it until they received it. And so we have all been given the Holy Spirit and received power. All of us. We have all been given the ability and command to witness for Him, God has empowered every one of us because we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. In every aspect of church, whether it be ministry or whatever, it is to be Holy Spirit inspired. That's so essential, okay? All members of the body should be hearing the Holy Spirit speak and guide them, okay? Whether it be in our worship services or Bible studies or senior adult ministries or the state mental hospital ministry, whatever the case is, we need to be aware of the Spirit of God. And then if we're all walking with the Lord and in a close relationship with Him, then together what's going to happen is that God's going to start talking to your heart, my heart, your heart, your heart, your heart about the same thing. And in our fellowship together, what God's putting on your heart is going to surface, and we're going to say, God's been putting that on my heart too. Someone else, God's been putting that on my heart too. And we begin to see that God's put it on the heart of the church. And the church says, God's telling us to do this. Isn't that cool? I would rather hear God work in our lives and our lives confirming what God is telling us together to discover what He wants to do than for me to think or you to think what we ought to do. But it's key that we walk with Jesus. It's key that we're close to Him. It's key that we are united together. It's key that we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so the eye of the body, we talked about the different parts of the body a few weeks ago, might see the vision, right? Or the hands might recognize the vision but have the ability to carry out the vision. And each part of the body is essential to the fullness of the effectiveness of a living body of believers in Christ in order to do God's work. In John 14:12, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father, or my Father. Through the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus tells us that we will do more than he did. First thing that comes to my mind is, I don't see Christians raising people from the dead. Is that a contradiction to God's word? No. How many people are dead spiritually that get raised through faith in Christ? Amen. Amen. So we have been assured we will do greater works because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so what we have to ask ourselves a question is, what I'm explaining to you this morning, how much do we see the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit working in individual lives, in your life, or in the life of your church or other churches? Is that identified clearly? Do we see that activity? And we need to be willing to see that activity of the Holy Spirit at work. The first century church did mighty works by the Holy Spirit's prompting and empowering. See, it's when God says, now this is my assignment for you. We know that the Spirit of God put it on our heart. We know that He's confirmed it amongst the brothers and sisters in Christ in the church body. And then God places the assignment in front of us so plain and clear. And the assignment's bigger than who we are. And God says, I've called you. I give it to you. I've empowered you. Right? By my Spirit. And then we'll discover that we'll be able to do things in Christ that we never thought possible in our own lives, let alone as a church family. And that's the way it's supposed to be, because I tell you what, if that's how it is in a church, what are we going to do when we come back to church? We're going to be excited about what God has done in our personal lives and what God is doing in our church. And we're going to just be praising Him, saying, can't wait to find out what God is going to do next. Right? And that's the way we should be looking at that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. First of all, very bad joke. They were not in a Honda Accord. Second of all, the gift that God had given them was different languages to carry out the gospel to the known world around them, because the New Testament had not yet been completed to teach the truth of God's new covenant with His people, the church, the bride. And then it says in Acts 4:31, And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I tell you what, if we were in church and we're praying, and all of a sudden the building began to shake, and we checked that it wasn't an earthquake, and we knew it was God doing that specific thing in our presence, I bet all of us would go with boldness and declare God's marvelous hand. But we don't have to have our sanctuary shaken for us to have the boldness, because he's given us his Spirit, and when we walk in fellowship with him, he gives us boldness. Have you ever been at a place where you're going, you're in conversation with somebody, and all of a sudden you share some truth about God's word or about God or your life with God, and it just kind of all of a sudden goes, plop, plops out in front of you. How did that happen? God gave courage for us to speak. Sometimes it's a premeditated thinking and the Holy Spirit's working and you pray and say, God, please open the door. And then God gives us courage to step into that door when he opens it and to represent him. So it was everyone, not just the apostles, that received the Holy Spirit. Christianity 101, we all know that. But the point is that we need to be reminded that you have just as much of the Holy Spirit as I have of the Holy Spirit. We all have been given the Holy Spirit equally to be used of God for his kingdom work. The question is, how close do we walk and relate to the very presence of God through his Spirit in our life, or even as a church? The Holy Spirit will teach us all things we need to know. God challenges us to witness for him. God challenges us to go in ministry somewhere, not necessarily professional, but it could be. God challenges us to step up to the plate and serve in a capacity that we never have. God will give us the understanding that we need to be able to do what he calls us to do, whether it be verbal witnessing or whether it be physical activity in serving him. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." We can rely on God to help us, right? And so each of us has been placed here as a specific part of the body of Christ. Each of us has a purpose that's unique for God's kingdom work. I can't overexpress the importance of each one of us being placed here by God, and each one of us learning to recognize what he's gifted us with to serve him. And as I said a couple weeks ago, when we're not, God places us here, and if we're not serving as God intended us to serve, the whole body is suffering. The whole body. So the guy, the roofer, was on the roof and he last week, and he's walking with a big old limp. And I asked him, I didn't ask him. He just came up and said, "Yeah, I stepped on a screw and it went through my foot." And so he's working and he's limping and all this stuff. And so it hurt his whole body. It consumed his focus. This is my foot is killing me, right? And so we need to remember that we're important. You are important. Don't let the devil convince you that you're insignificant and not important to this body, let alone to Jesus and your own relationship with him. We have all been given, right, the same Spirit to carry out the purpose in this body and in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." So we're all united together. "Therefore, we all have the same Spirit guiding, teaching, gifting, and empowering us." We are all needed and all have the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't have to show your hand, but how many of you ever felt like you weren't necessary, weren't needed, and weren't a part of this church family? It depends, but some people feel like I come, but I'm... You know what the problem is? You step back, or you never step in. When we isolate ourselves, we're going to feel that way. When we step in and are led by the Spirit to be involved as God leads us to, we don't feel like we're not needed or not recognized or not important. And so that's key. That's key. What's the problem with most churches in this respect? There's an old principle. It says there's the 20-80 principle. Do we know what the 20-80 principle is? Anybody? 20% of the people in the church, typical churches, do all the work. 80% of the others don't. What happens to that 20%? They get tired. They get overwhelmed. Yet their love for Jesus stays there, and they continue to pursue what God has called them to do. But how much more effective would this church be in all of the churches that Christ is the head of if not 20%, not 40, 60, or 80%, but 100% of every member that walked in their doors was encouraged, was implemented into the work of the body of that church for God's kingdom work? Would not the church be that much more effective for God's glory? Would we all be excited about doing what God has called us to do? Absolutely. God has called us to do that. It is not right that the church is at a 20-80 type of working, serving capacity. It is right that the church is at 100%. Everybody. No matter how weird, no matter how unusual, no matter who we are, because we've had all sorts of different backgrounds of people enter into the church. But if God places them here, it was by His pleasure, for His purpose, to make them a part of this body, to make us effective for His glory. And that's what we're called to do. In Acts 4:32 through 35, it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one, to each and anyone that had need." You know what the idea there is? We're family. You know what the idea is? That we know people, we know our family needs. You know what the idea is? If we need to liquidate something for the sake of helping someone else, we should. If we have the resources to step in and help someone else financially, or with a job that needs to be done in the house, or any area at all, we're supposed to be there like bees on honey, helping our brother or sister in Christ at any capacity we can. If we were doing that with each other, what a witness that would be to each of us and how that would encourage us. But we have to know. We have to be willing to confide and share about our needs and not be islands amongst islands, but be a community of believers that is bonded together by one Spirit in Christ Jesus. Each first century church Christian helped the others. They were unified, they were sacrificial, they were giving of time, service, and money for God's kingdom work and people. What was their primary focus? God's kingdom work, His leadership, whatever assignments that God gave them, and them working absolutely together to do God's kingdom work. Now, as a pastor, and I bet you ask any pastor, that's a dream. That is something you go, well, that's almost wishful thinking or idea. How do you say that? Idealistic. But you know what? God doesn't say so. God says that this is what He expects for His church family. God's given us an example by the first church, that first century church, that this can be a true reality in each and every Christian church. The problem is that we retract into our own worlds and we disconnect with one another and we're not sharing, listening, or doing what God has called each one of us to do. The Apostle Paul calls us to walk worthy. What did I say earlier? If we're not walking with Jesus through the week, if every day is a challenge, some days are better than the other, but if we just make sure that we keep ourselves in check with God, then we're going to be walking in step with God. And we're going to be recognizing His Spirit. And if we all do that together, it will affect not only our personal lives, but the life and ministry of this and every other Christian church. Ephesians 4:1-7 says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Each one of us has been called. Now the question is, do we walk worthy of that calling? Do we walk with Jesus, first of all? Do we seek him out for how he wants to use us? And do we follow that? And so, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. That whole passage, what's that? What is that defined? We are one in Christ. We are one. And we need to operate just as one unit, one mind, one body, one Spirit in Christ, doing his kingdom work. And so we're to have humility and gentleness and patience and acceptance of others, love, and be keeping unity in the body. These are virtues of our faith and our walk with Jesus, and we're to pursue that. And so if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in the midst of our body, then these virtues will come out in our character and our relationship with each other. We'll be united in our opinions. We'll be united in our actions and decisions. Have you ever heard of the silliness of a church splitting over what color the carpet is? Or what color you're going to paint? All these issues that don't matter. They're digging in their heels and they're fighting for their own territory and they want to make sure that they're doing and get what they want. That's not representation of God. That's not representation of the body. Because when the body is walking with Jesus, we're in unison together and sensitive to the Spirit, and the Spirit of God will tell us, this is what I want. It's not what you and I want, it's what he wants, right? But that's a wonderful place to be. In that particular place with the Lord as a body of believers. And so, each of us will hear what God is teaching us and telling us to do and leading us to do for his kingdom. Galatians 5:19-25 says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Whatever warfare we face, you know, I used to say, well, the devil's hitting me so hard. Years ago, you had the TV comedian Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. We shift the blame. That was a trick of the adversary. But you know what? Every once in a while, my sinful nature rears up like a snake's head, and I see that the wickedness that is in me is me. No one else. No other circumstance. It's me. And therefore, if I walk in the Spirit of God, God destroys the wickedness of our own flesh within us. David said, destroy, examine me, prove me, and destroy, paraphrasing, that which is evil in me. That I can walk with you in fellowship with you. That's what we need to be pursuing every single day if we want to walk with Jesus. So, what can you do to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and in the church body? First, acknowledge the Holy Spirit or look for him throughout your day. Every day, acknowledge God and look for him throughout the day. God, show me where you are. God, reveal yourself to me. God, touch my heart. Something. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit to look for him or look for him throughout your day. Secondly, pray and ask God to reveal where he is working and where you need to join him in the work. That takes courage. God, I really want to see where you're working because I want to join. Do we? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves the honest question. Okay, I know that's what I want to do. I mean, what I should do, but do I want to do it? But we should want to do it because God has the best plans and purposes for your life and my life as we yield to what he calls us to do. We're to read our Bible each day. We're to study our Bible. I don't know how to study a Bible. Look at your footnotes. Look at your cross references. Read it in a different translation. There are always ways to start studying your Bible. Surrender your life. Bought with a price. It's not our own no more. Start trusting God and believing what you have learned about him in the Word. It's one thing to learn the Word. It's another thing to say, God, I believe you, trust you, and apply the truth that you've taught me through your Word. Because it's only then that we experience him. Isn't it great to experience the Lord Jesus? I mean, where the supernatural power of God is present, we're experiencing him in our life. I want to stay there all the time. Real, I want to soar. I want to rise up to levels that are higher than I ever thought possible in God's kingdom work. And don't misunderstand that, that God will bring me places of spiritual insight and wisdom or opportunities to serve him that I never thought were possible, to soar, to go farther than I ever thought possible in life goals or accomplishments, because he led, he inspired, he directed, and he did it through me, as for each one of us the same. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I do ask, Father, please, that you help us to meditate on your word today. Help us, Father, to see that the practicality of the life of our church is based upon our personal walk with you, our being united together in Christ, our being there for each other, our being willing to hear you, listen to you, respond to you in faith and obedience. And by this, you'll do your work in ways we never thought possible in our lives and in our church. And all these things will bring you glory and honor. So we praise you, Father, for your plan, your purpose, your structure, all these things. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com. And tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.